Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. This evening, our learning is sponsored by Refuah Shlema of Yaakov ben Tamar Malka, also Zev ben Land, it's Dr. Zev Zelenko. All of my learning is Lezeichem Nishmas Rabbi Mori, Moshe David ben Yitzchak Isaac. If you're interested in sponsoring learning, please reach out to the team at 917-626-8306 or reach out at sheerenjoyment.com. So this week's Parsha, as we know, is Parsha Tzaveh, and just diving right in, the very first pasuk in Parsha Tzaveh says, "Ve'at Tzaveh es v'nei Yisrael v'yikhoi lecha shemen v'ayizach." That now you should take, you shall command the Bnei Yisrael that they shall take for you shemen zayizach, pure pressed olive oil for illumination, and kindle the lamp continually. And this is the very first pasuk in the parsha. It's the perik chav zayim pasuk chav. So Rashi has a lot of comments on the parsha, but not what I want to focus on today. I would like to focus on just looking at the first Midrash in Midrash Rabbah. The very first Midrash says, "V'at tzaveh," and again, on the Pasuk now, you should command the Bnei Yisrael that they shall take the Shemen Vayizach, the pure olive oil. And the word Eilecha in the Pasuk seems to be superfluous. And that's what the Midrash is going to address over here. The Midrash understands the word Eilecha for you or unto you, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, that there's a connection between olives and Bnei Yisrael. For Moshe represents the entire Bnei Yisrael, as we see in the Bamidbar Rabbah, and also you look at the Rashi in Sefer Bamidbar as well. Alternatively, the point of the Midrash is to provide a rationale as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash with as mentioned in our pasuk, with the Shemen Zayizach, the pure olive oil. Although that we're not going to get to this entire midrash, and the answer isn't found in this particular midrash, but that's where we're going to begin addressing here. As the midrash says, "Hadahu dechsiv Zayis ra'anon yaseh pri seir kara Hashem shmeich." This is to be understood. That's written in Sefer Yirmiyah, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes Zayim, that Hashem is called your name, a leafy olive tree, beautiful with a shapely fruit. And now amid the sound of the great commotion, he set a fire to it and the branches were broken. So Yirmiyah laments the fact that that Yisrael, who had once been comparable to a fine tree, were now broken down and burnt. V'chilo nikru Yisrael ela b'zayis tazeh b'lefad. Now, what were the Bnei Yisrael only called or compared to an olive tree? But have not the Bnei Yisrael also been referred to other kinds of beautiful, praiseworthy trees? Since Yirmiyah said beautiful with the shapely fruit, it appears that his comparison of Bnei Yisrael to the olive tree is with regard to its attractiveness or stature. If so, all the trees that Bnei Yisrael are compared to, that the Midrash is going to list, why did he choose Dafka, specifically the Zayis, the olive tree, which was not known for its great height or its specific beauty as other trees? The Gevin Usaina, they're referred to as a grapevine or as a fig tree, Shenem are Gevin Mitzrayim, that they're called the grapevine, as it says, you cause the grapevine to journey out of Mitzrayim. Look in Tehillim, Perek, the 80th Perek over in Tehillim. Te'ena Shenemar Kivikura V'Te'ena Rishena, and they're called fig trees, as it's stated, I found Yisrael like the grapes of the Midbar, like a ripe fruit or a fig tree at the beginning. Did I view your fathers? These say for Hosea in the ninth parak. But Tamar Shenemar Zoyskom Masich Demitza Lesamar, they're likened to a palm tree, as it says in Shir Shirim, as it's stated that your stature is like a palm tree. This is the seventh parak in Shir Shirim. Be'er Shenemar Ke'eres Balvonin Yiske, also considered to be like a cedar tree. A righteous man will flourish like a date palm in the cedar in Lebanon. We see this in Tehillim. We actually say it that it's part of Shabbos davening. We see that this pasuk specifically refers to tzaddik, a righteous person. It's understood to refer to the entire Bnei Yisrael. El ginos egos yedarti, and they're like to a nut tree, and egos is a nut tree, as it says. I went down to the garden of nuts, also from Shir Hashirim. This is in the sixth parak. That the pasuk is seen as a metaphor for Hashem going to inspect Bnei Yisrael. Ukrain bechol minei shalachim shnemar shalachayich pardes remainim, and moreover. He calls the Bnei Yisrael by name of all kinds of produce in the garden, as it says, your garden, an orchard of pomegranate with precious produce. This is also from Shir Hashirim. In the fourth parak, the pasuk continues that many other types of things. It talks about henna and nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, trees and frankincense, myrrh and aloes, and all the other spices. So Bnei Yisrael is compared to all kinds of fruits and spices and various things we find in the garden. But Yirmiya, the Midrash, comes along saying, a leafy olive tree, beautiful with a shapely fruit. However, the explanation is that Yirmiya intended to make the following analogy, that just as the olive, while it's still on its tree, is selected for extra ripening, that when the harvester first comes to pick the olives, he selects certain choice olives that to leave on the tree a bit longer to allow them to get softer a little bit, to facilitate the extraction of their oil. And this follows the idea that margargarin, the translation that I'm using, follows Rashi's first explanation in his parish on Menachos, Mesech Menachos. Another explanation for the word is that certain olives are picked from the top of the tree, where others are exposure to the sun causes them to ripen earlier. Okay, back in the Midrash, the Acher Kach Maridin Oso Min Hazayis V'Nechbad, and afterward the olive is brought down from the olive tree and it's squeezed. Umishechoskuftin Oso Ma'alin Oso Lagas, the Noistin Oso V'Achtin Acher Kach Tuchtin Oso. And after it's squeezed, it's brought down to the olive press, and the olives are placed in the mill and they're ground. The Acher Kach Makifin Oso. And then they're wrapped with ropes, and then the stones are brought, pressed with stones. And only after this do they give forth their oil. Kach Yisrael, so too it is with the Bnei Yisrael. So when the Bnei Yisrael are enjoying good times, we soar to great heights. They're left to ripen on the tree, so to speak. However, when Rachman Otzlan would commit the Averas, the tshuva only comes after trouble befall them. We must cast down from the tree and be subjected to the trouble in order to bring out the oil of tshuva that ultimately brings salvation. The Midrash is then coming to list things that the Bnei Yisrael were subjected to, which correspond to these things that we just mentioned, that are done to olives in order to yield their oil. The other nations of the world come and beat them, thereby driving them from place to place. And they imprison them and bind them bind their necks with chains. And they surround them with soldiers. And after all this, the Bnei Yisrael do tshuva and call out to Hashem, and Hashem answers them. Meaning, from there, from where do we learn this to be so? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Ve'einechu b'nei Yisrael. And the B'nai Yisrael groaned because of the work, and they cried out, their outcry, because the work went up to Shemayim, went up to Hashem, and Hashem heard their groaning, and Hashem remembered them. And we see this earlier in the second parak of Shmos. V'chein b'tzar l'cha amasulcha v'goymerki el rachum Hashem elokecha. And similarly, it says, when you're in distress and all the things have befallen you at the end of days, will return to Hashem, and Hashem will listen to His voice. For Hashem is merciful, and He's not going to abandon you or destroy you. Not going to forget you. And the promise, the covenant He made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as we see this in Sefer Devarim in the fourth parak. So we see that the Bnei Yisrael do tshuva only when troubles befall them. Nevertheless, when they do so, Hashem answers. V'havi zayis ra'an non yafa pri soyer. And this is the explanation of the pasuk, a leafy olive tree beautiful with fruit. So Yirmiyah's intent by comparing the Bnei Yisrael to an olive tree was not with regard to its specific beauty, but rather that like the olive, they only emit their oil, that is, that they only do tshuva when subjected to such harsh treatment. Therefore, Yirmiyah continues that Hashem will bring their enemies against them. But now, amid the sounds of a great commotion, He has set fire to it, and its branches were broken. And Hashem Tzefakais, who planted you, has declared upon evil upon you because of the evil of Bnei Israel and of the Bnei Yehuda, which they committed in order to anger Hashem by doing sacrifices to the Baal. The Midrash explained that just as the olive is beaten and pressed in order to release its oil, which is the main purpose of the olive. Certainly you could eat an olive, but the main purpose, Chazal say, that an olive has is for the oil. It's a special idea that the main purpose of the olive is the oil, even though, again, you can eat the olive too. But so that the olive is beaten to release the oil, so too Bnei Yisrael oppressed to induce her to do tshuva. And many Mefarshim point out this difficulty. Yirmiyah's comparison to the olive was intended as a praise to highlight the positive qualities. And in fact, the pasuk says in the 11th parak of Yirmiyah, parak Tazayin, that we mentioned before, "Kar Hashem Shemeich, Hashem called out your name." Surely, the name Hashem bestowed upon Yisrael expresses her attributes, not the shortcomings. So why then does the Midrash interpret this name in a way that emphasizes Bnei Yisrael's failings, her refusal to do tshuva until forced to do so? And the Mefarshim answer that in fact this interpretation also was like the others that we said in the Midrash that represents virtue and not a fault. The oil of the olive, unlike other fruits, is deemed, again, as a matter of halacha, to be separate and distinct from the fruit's flesh. A tiny reservoir of pure oil contained within the shell of the olive is not absorbed in its flesh. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, that the oil that emerges when the olive is crushed existed in its present form from the start, previously hidden but now revealed through the removal of the disposable shell that it was contained within. So too with the Bnei Yisrael. Even when Rechman Al-Islan does an Aveira, this Aveira is only on the outside. The essence remains pure Kaddish without any taint. A Jew might act sinfully. He might ape at the nations in his external behavior, but inwardly, in his heart of hearts, he's devoted to the Avodas Hashem. And his innermost thought, his truest intent is with Hashem. And the soul's yearning is in the favor of Hashem's divine countenance. When the Bnei Yisrael are beaten, when they're moved by their suffering to do tshuva, their tshuva strips away the shell of the Avera that distances themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and their essence is then revealed. Neshama is perfect and without blemish, lustrous and pure as the day that the nation was born, to the Gemara Masech Shabbos. With this teaching, then, the Midrash exalts us, the Bnei Yisrael, who our neshamas, our souls, are like the oil of the olive, and they're unaffected by the rude vessel in which they're contained. This is the rationale famously offered by the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin in the second parak for the validity of a divorce obtained from a husband by the Beis Din through the use of force. Although the rule that a husband must grant the divorce willingly, in fact, a get me'usa, a forced get, is halachically invalid in most circumstances. Not getting into it, the Rambam actually says that you can beat someone until he says, I want, and that's not considered to be a get me'usa. That's a very difficult concept, and not to get on a tangent right now. But the presumption is that each and every Jew, in the depths of his heart, desires to do what Hashem and the Torah requires of him. This includes the basic words of the Beis Din, when a court orders him to divorce his wife, to the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra. The husband refuses only because his Yetzirah incites him to disobey. So through the application of force, this external influence is overcome, allowing the person to express his true will, which is to grant the get as required. What is true in the case of the recalcitrant husband is true also with respect to Bnei Yisrael as a whole. Her averas are not intrinsic to her, but rather they derive from the negative influence of the Yetzer Hara. Behind this facade, what she truly desires is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of his will, and the oppression to which Yisrael is subjected to spurs to do tshuva. And thus the Yetzer Hara is vanquished, its shadow is dissolved, and the innate goodness of Hashem and Hashem's people is revealed. See the Ksav Sefer and the Shem Shmuel on our pasuk here. And the Siva Shalom adds that the olive differs from other fruit in another way. The liquid that comes out is not merely another food, but is a separate entity, a fuel, a source of light, a source of heat. The Bnei Yisrael, even when mired in the Averas, nourish within themselves a holy light, the Kedusha, the Ur Torah, the light of Torah, and the light of their neshamas. A curtain is drawn before the light, made thick with the coarse illusions of a profane world. It's the avodah of the Jew to tear away this curtain of the material that separates Hashem from man. And sometimes this is accomplished through suffering, which of course can galvanize a person to do tshuva. But even more effective is tshuva that arises from a person's personal desire to improve. In the words of the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Zayin Amar Aleph, Tov Mardu Sachas Belibo Shel Adam Mekama Melukuyos. A single reproach from the heart of a person is better than many malchus, many, many lashes. Through persecution delivered by your enemies, or the pain of our suffering, our bitter regret, the interposing curtain is shredded and falls away, allowing the light secreted in the hearts of our people to shine forth in all of its glory. See the Sfasemis in our Parsha, the Ori Yecheskel, and the Chachmas Hamaputzin for more. And these ideas serve to explain the seeming redundancy of the Midrash's explanation, which draws the analogy between the inability of olive oil to intermingle with other liquids and of Bnei Yisrael to intermingle with other nations. And it follows this with the comparison between oil, which when mixed with other liquids rises to the top, and Bnei Yisrael stands above other nations. Now the statement that the oil rises to the top of other liquids includes the idea that it does not intermix with them. So why is it necessary to state separately that oil And likewise, Yisrael, don't mix with others. The Ksav Sefer explains that this analogy amplifies the previous one that compares the persecution of Bnei Yisrael to the beating of the olives to release their oil. The Bnei Yisrael, influenced by the ways of the nations of the world, Umos Olam, who were scattered and oftentimes indistinguishable from their hosts, I can imagine that Bnei Yisrael's saturation is complete, that the attitudes and beliefs of the surrounding nations have penetrated so deeply into our people that we're utterly changed and tshuva is no longer possible. The Midrash assures us, however, otherwise. Bnei Yisrael, like the olive oil to which it's compared, does not ever truly intermingle with the other nations. When the oil that is Yisrael does not rise to the top, it may appear that that the Yidden have been thoroughly subsumed within the alien, the strange culture that surrounds them, that nothing remains of what once was, that distinguished Hashem's people from all others. But in fact, in the deepest recesses of their hearts, the Bnei Yisrael remain separate and distinct, unaffected by the evil and materialism and sinfulness that fills the world in which we dwell. Our innermost souls are tahor, they're pure, and the profoundest intentions are for good and lack only the impetus to scrape away the crusting of the centuries that of evil that have interposed between Bnei Yisrael and Avinu Shebas Shemayim. What goes them into action? The suffering of galus, of exile, and the regret and self-reproach that is the scourge of the heart. Under these twin lashes, so to speak, Yisrael shakes off this dreadful burden of her evil inclination, of the Yitzhahara, freeing herself at last to follow the essential yearning of the heart, to breathe life into the spark that resides within the neshamas of her people, and to release the oil gathered within, the fuel meeting the flame, the pure and sacred Shemen Zayin Zach, pure olive oil of the neshama, so to speak, catching fire, bright with a new light to illuminate the world. That is a powerful message and a powerful lesson for each and every one of us. No matter how far we may think that we have fallen in anything that we've done in life, we know, we recognize that not only is it possible for us to do tshuva when we realize that there has been a failing on our part, that it's theoretically possible, but that it actually is possible in reality. We see that we are the Or LaGoyim, the light unto the nations, as Chazal say. That means that we're not like other nations. Yes, we live among them, and we do well, Baruch Hashem, overall, because we are a nation apart. We integrate, we do a lot of things to help this every society over the centuries that we've been involved with, but we're not them. We're separate, and that's something that we should remind ourselves about. This is a positive thing, that we are a separate society, a separate nation, that we need to look at ourselves inwardly and see how being different is not just okay, but it's the right thing. You know, again, it's very late. I'm not to get into a big tangent here, but we are different, and that's good. We can recognize, perhaps more than others, the differences that we have between them, even though we live among many nations around the world. But then we come home and we see the light around us in our home. Even when we go out into the world and we're working and we're doing everything in the world, when we remember that we are Hashem's nation, that and our role to be the Or LaGoyim, then we see, oh, I am part of the world, I'm part of this nation I'm living in, but I'm a person apart. I'm a separate person. I'm not part of them. And this is not a knock against the other nations of the world. It's just a note that we are separate. We are different. And that's not a bad thing. And because of this recognizance, that we know that we are different, even though we very much can work and live among the other nations of the world. We're not superior. We're just different. It's a special message to each and every one of us that will, in times of trouble, in times of need, that, oh, we are the olive oil. We rise above. We're different. It's okay. Mir Hashem, by recognizing this and really, truly taking it to heart, we should merit to do our mitzvahs with that much more vigor, and to remind ourselves when we're not doing so well that we still are who we are. But by doing so, we can help ourselves and help the world at large to see the real or the real light by doing so, doing mitzvahs, serving Hashem, v'chulei v'chulei. Mir Hashem will then merit to speedily see the geula shleima, the ultimate and complete redemption of here v'yameinu. I mean, I wish everyone a good Shabbos and the mazel tov to everyone who is going to Messiah, Mesechus Moikot, and Daf Yomi this week, and it's Lacha with the next Mesechus Chagiga. Once again, good Shabbos, Dagavinsh.